Blog Talk Radio.
Because you can't fall and embarrass yourself.
Right? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Exactly.
I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. And, you know, speaking of chair twerking and embarrassing yourself, all right, first of all, good evening, Kamal. How are you this evening?
Good evening, Kyle. How are you this evening?
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and ships at sea.
So, before we get started, let me just do a little quick housekeeping. I want to thank everybody for their prayers and well wishes. We are out of the hospital. It was a severe, severe asthma attack. They're my old cat. And we've been in the hospital since Thursday night. Now, all I will admit to is that we're out of the hospital. I will not tell you if we were discharged, if we escaped, or if we got kicked out. But I will say, we weren't going to be there one more night. Come hella high water. Because, you know what? We got to order from the gourmet menu. I had to go down to the cafeteria. And the cafeteria food wasn't bad. It was just with no variety. So, as of today, hospitalization, I've had 13 salads, whole salads that from the salad bar that I created, and 11 hamburgers. And understand, your body wasn't made to 11 hamburgers in 5 days. It wasn't. So I think at some point they sent several doctors to make sure that she had died and was starting to decay. Because that is what 11 hamburgers in 5 days. Hear that test track.
Yeah, that's going to take a couple of weeks to get out your system.
You know?
That's a lot of prune juice, baby. A lot of prune juice.
Right. And there's plenty of restaurants around, but I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to be too far, you know? So, and then the rest of the stuff down there, no, I don't eat powdered eggs. You talk about a bathroom run? No. No. And I'm just real particular about my potatoes. Because, you know, if you don't cook your potatoes right, whether it's french fries, home fries, JoJo's, baked potatoes, they're going to be hard. I don't like hard potatoes.
I am so leaving that comment alone because
you know what you do with a hard potato.
You mash it. You mash a hard potato. There's even a song about it. One potato, two potato, three potato. Mash! Mash that potato.
No, but if I order french fries or I order home fries, I want french fries or home fries. I don't want home fries that are only edible if I turn them into mashed potatoes.
How about some french fried home fries? The hard fries, those home fries you get in the hospital that are so bad that you feel like if you drop them in some grease. America is clear on what's going on. This is for America. I'm asking.
Yeah, America. Oh, wait a minute. Don't do it.
This is the same child who.
No. I was going to give you the space.
Isn't this the same child whose arm was broken? Across the street.
Oh, you were talking about that.
I'm just asking.
Let me tell you how I almost got this child taken from me. The social worker came in, Friday night, you know, at the height of this asthma attack, and her hair, my girl's hair was just all over her head. I mean, she looked like a Brillo pad. And she got that broken arm, and she was laying in the bed all pitiful. And the mask they put on her face so she could get her albuterol, it was so tight, and she's so fair-skinned, it bruised her. So she's sitting up in that hospital bed with her hair all about her head, a bruise on her face.
Now, tell America what I asked you. Are you still there? Did we lose Kamal? I think we may have temporarily lost Kamal. She may have been surrounded by the popo because she just admitted on the air. Yeah, we lost Kamal. She'll be back. But she may have just been pulled over for child abuse. So I'll tell you what I asked Kamal because I know she loves her children, and she knows I know she loves her children, but there's a whole lot of accidents be happening up in the Kamal household. Oh, wait a minute. She's back. I'm going to let her listen to this so I can say it uninterruptedly for a few seconds, and then I'll catch hell later. So, same girl broke her arm in the same place twice. Now she's in the hospital. Like I said, the husband was run over by a mysterious hit and run accident. All he saw was a woman driving the car. He was in the intersection, walking, minding his business, and was run over an intersection. So I had to ask Kamal, I said, I admire you because I know for myself, how do you beat asthma into your child? I mean, that's taking it to a whole nother level. So now she'll be back. So
anyway,
how do you beat the asthma into your child? Just tell me.
Your child has asthma, so don't even go there.
Yes, but he got it from me because I have asthma. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you how times have changed. Because when I was a child, and my biological father, God love him, I love him, but he has contracted asthma now in his later years. And he said to me that a few months ago, man, I didn't know how bad you had it when you were a little boy. I thought you were faking. I said, yeah, that can't get any air in your body is hard, huh? He was like, yeah, if I'd have known you how bad it was, I would have never continued to keep smoking. I would have never continued to make you run when you said you were tired. Like, yeah, thanks. I'm 51 years old now, and now you're 70, and now you know. Now you know that breathing thing is real important. A lot of people don't know, but in the 70s, when I was coming up, your child had an asthma attack. You just, you know, if you were a good parent, you rolled the window down in the car and let Charlie get some air. My people just lay on the floor of the car while we're driving, and we just gonna keep smoking, and you just gonna lay on the floor and sweat while we keep smoking, and you can do your little asthma thing when we get home.
Right, the little asthma thing.
Right.
So, I'm driving through the country, so I keep losing my connection. But let me tell you, so he said, this is so-and-so. What's so funny? I don't see anything funny about your child being out so loud. And then he asked me to step out the room.
Did you give it a look? Did you give it a look like, don't play? Don't.
Okay.
Don't.
Right.
Don't. Hey,
right.
Look, don't. This ain't jokey joke time right now.
Right.
Don't.
I never did. And there's nothing funny about child abuse. And I'm glad that he's that diligent. But
uh-huh.
It's just that so much has happened to her. That's just not my fault. And I'm
yeah.
Just But I did.
Yeah.
I gave her that look. I gave her that, I will jack you up.
If you tell these people that I'm hurting you, I will hurt you.
Right. I'm going to hurt you. You tell them you abuse, and I'm going to show you what abuse is. Try me. You ain't been abused yet.
What I tell you in the last show, what my stepfather told the policeman? When my stepbrother went and told the cops, told the neighbors that he'd being abused, and they showed up with three police cars and pulled my dad up to ask him about some stuff. He told the cops straight up, my child, he ain't been abused yet. But he even failed.
But give me a minute.
Yeah. I'm gonna need y'all to come back if you want to. But he about to really find out what abuse is all about.
Right, and that's the same look I gave her. I gave her, go ahead and try me here. You're gonna have a real long hospital stay.
Right.
We gonna be here for a month.
Tell her like my mother told me once when I told her, my mother said, I could just kill you. And I said, go ahead. If you kill me, I'm going to call the police and tell them that you're going to kill me. And she said, you're right. The police will come and chalk off your body and I will go to jail. But they will chalk off your body.
Right.
I'll just be in jail.
Right.
And if you're a smart little kid, you think about that. Go, wait a minute, what?
Wait. just like, what's that comedian's name? The real heavy set one, Lamar.
Yes.
And his mama was like, I'll just kill you. I'm young. I can make three more just like you before I'm 25. Oh, God. So, this is a nice segue. Speaking of child abuse.
Yes, and I'm glad you are. But before you say that, I just want to ask a question, because we know these are all accidents that are happening to your child. Right? These are all accidents.
Yes.
And we know that what happened to the husband was an accident. Right? Right. That's
a
good alibi. 30 miles away, great alibi, love it, keep using it. I'm just wondering, since you're always worried about the zombie apocalypse, are you not maybe practicing on your family to see who's strong enough to hang with you when it comes? Oh, you can't take a broken arm? You ain't strong enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, I'm tripping my husband so we can get away. You already know
that. Tripping him or hitting him with a car? I'm just saying.
No,
it could happen. Okay.
And then we coming for you.
Roll on up here. Roll on up here.
We coming to you for quote unquote protection. As you got all those guns. But,
you know it.
You know, just go ahead. But, like I said, go ahead and mess up one good time. That's all I need. I will toss your ass out the window so we can escape.
Well, first of all, my neighborhood won't be a safe place to survive, because all the ramen noodles will be gone before the ZA actually hits. Because you know I live in the hood, and people in the hood will eat some ramen noodles.
But you know I got a supply, right? I got.
Yeah, you better bring enough and keep it locked up where it can't be seen, because they will jack you for your ramen noodles.
You know what? I will cut them where they stand. Don't touch my ramen noodles. Don't touch my chicken in a can. Don't touch my tuna fish.
Oh, your cheese whiz. Your cheese whiz. You have a cheese whiz, boy?
Right. Don't be messing with my survival food. My MRIs.
MRIs, right. MREs. Meals ready to eat. Okay, so.
Okay, so.
Segue. Child abuse.
Child abuse. There is a story in the news out of Texas about a father, and forgive me, his name has escaped me, but it is a father whose son was bullying, he got in trouble for bullying several times. I don't know if he bullied several different children or if he bullied the same child several times, but nonetheless, he bullied somebody several times. And so his father could teach him a lesson, put a sign on his little ass, and put him on the corner. And the sign read, "I am a bully. Honk if you hate bullies." Now, I'm as liberal as the next person. But there are certain people who have just lost their mind over this and called the father a bully. It says that public humiliation is a form of bullying and abuse. And, you know, what purpose does it serve for him to bully his own child? And maybe that's why his child is a bully. And so, in response, the father went on that very same corner and said, "I'm not sorry." See, now that's my kind of parody. My side would have said, "I'm not sorry, F off y'all." communication by my mother. And ain't nothing wrong with me because of that.
Well.
Oh, because
of
that.
Right. The qualifier is because of that. Right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, let's clarify that. Let's clarify that.
Yeah,
you're not crazy
did,
because of that, America.
Right. I knew what I was saying and how I said it. And I also noticed that a lot of the responses broke down racial lines. I don't like to generalize, white versus black, but the strongest support and strongest commentary came from people who I tell were black, because they'll stick to by their little icon or whatever. And I noticed, not just that there weren't, non-black people that supported him and that he had 100% black support. There was a few black folks who were like, no. But the majority of the black people were like, not only would my child be wearing a sign, I would have beat that little ass. Now, white people, I saw that were in agreement. They were like, I would have done the same thing, but they didn't add the qualifier. I'm going to take the shit out of them, too. But then there was just those people who were just like out of their freaking mind. And I'm like, dial it back for a minute. Part of what I have always thought was the reason kids are out of control now is because they weren't raised to respect authority and they weren't raised to respect adults. I grew up, I had to say yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And that's how I've raised my girls. They have to say yes, ma'am, yes, sir. But the flip side of that is, what exactly was going to be helped if instead of putting him on the corner, they had said, well, little Timmy, we're going to take your DS so you stop bullying kids. And you can't play outside for a week. Look, if that was my punishment when I was growing up, are you kidding me? Oh, I can't play outside for a week. No, but you know what? You whip my ass. And I'm good. We got it. What about the kids that he was bullying? How would you feel if your child was the victim?
Well, as I've said on this show before, my mother's theory on all of it is things changed when Miss Ann had to get out the house and start working. And Miss Ann, for people who don't know, Miss Ann is the white woman. When June Cleaver had to get a job and come out the house, all kinds of stuff changed that wasn't the same back in the 50s and 60s and early 70s when white women didn't have to work. You had a bully in the neighborhood, sure, but he was a bully. He didn't bully you. He was a bully. You avoided him because he might punch you in the arm, take your lunch money. He didn't threaten you. He didn't pull your pants down in public. He didn't humiliate you on a regular basis. You just had to give up that lunch money. You're bullying your child by putting a sign up about him bullying, and, you got to talk to him. I'm going to tell you, when Miss Ann came out the house to get a job, that's when timeout started. There was no timeout when we were growing up. I've said this on the show before. What was timeout?
Right.
Timeout was the break my mother took from beating that ass because she was tired.
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm going to need a timeout.
You got to catch your breath. That was
catch your breath.
Right.
Right. It wasn't. Right. That was timeout. And it wasn't like it's over. No, this is timeout because when I get my win back, we're going to continue.
Right,
so you can
right,
sit over
right.
there and you can sit over there on the floor going, hoo, 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 all you want. Because I'm sitting here going, whew. Oh.
Right.
and I'm gonna get it together. And I'm coming back. But these kids.
And what's with all this packing? You know, you and I have talked about this. If our mom was talking to us about something, we were begging for a spanking because we are half hour in. And I told you, and you have better not. And if I ever catch you, and you're like, damn, just spank me and get it over with.
Get it over with, please. Because the talking is happening on the way home. You know, whatever the talking is, it's not we're standing here in the kitchen and we're going to talk this over. No, I'm talking to you because I'm driving right now.
Right.
But when I get to the house, it's coming.
I am not one of your little friends. I don't know who the F you think you're talking to. But I'll tell you what, it's not me. I'll show you some talking. Who the F you think you are? I pay for the electricity in this house.
It's for yep. And this goes back to the Columbine thing, right? Parents, we had no idea our children were building pipe bombs in their room. Oh, you what? What was the one thing as a black child growing up in the 70s and 80s for you younger kids that you could not do in your mama's house? You bed not shut that door. Don't you shut that door. What you shutting the door for? Woo-hoo.
Yeah. I mean, that obviously, like if I was getting dressed or whatever, or undressed, I could shut that door. But to shut it just on hours on end, no.
So you were a girl. You had that need to shut the door to get dressed. I couldn't shut the door. I could shut the door when I was doing my homework, but it better not be locked.
Right. That's what I was going to say. I would tell her, I would say, Mom, it's pretty loud. Can I close my door so I can see my homework? Or can you allow me to close the door and talk on the phone for 10 minutes? After that, the door was open. After homework,
well, that's a good question.
That's a
good question. You could talk on the phone. Did you have your own phone, or was it an extension?
No, I had my own phone with my own phone number.
Little Diddy.
Job.
Y'all was rich.
No, I had a job. I went out when I was 10th grade, and I got a job working at the movie theater.
That's how I paid for
my phone. But don't get twisted. I paid for it. It was my telephone number, but it was still in girlfriend's house.
Oh, yeah.
So,
why are you on the phone so late?
Right. So, I found out the hard way. I learned today because I was like, I paid for it. She snatched the phone cord out of wall so hard to jackroot. And she was like, here's your phone.
How you like me now?
Right. I got no deal. I couldn't even. I couldn't plug it back in. She was like, and you know what she said? Here's your mother up and phone. You know that's what she said. And then she dropped the mic. Here's your up and phone.
And stepped off stage.
Right. I was like, damn. But hey, didn't matter that I was paying for it. And even though I was paying for it, I still had a phone call. She didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, don't think because you're paying for it, you can be on the phone till 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that ain't even happening.
You
don't have nothing to talk about that late.
I got very good at speaking phone calls. It was a little easier because she didn't have to pick up the extension and hear me talking. But because it was her house, it was nothing like, you would hear the theme to the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then she would kick my damn door in. That happened on me. Bam. Dang. Seriously. Still, I wasn't allowed to put water down for me. I had to get up that phone, The only thing I didn't have a curfew on was bathroom time. Nobody times me for bathroom time. So, this kind of brings forth
Mm.
You know, she can't do this, the kids can't do that. My daughter can't even wear hats to school, which really upsets me because I like to keep her turned head and ears warm, but she can't wear hats to school because they don't allow it. And, you know, I got to sign all kinds of permission slips just so they can take an aspirin.
Well, you know what? people don't, they used to tell you the lie, peroxide doesn't hurt. Bullshit. Peroxide hurts and it foams up and it hurts.
Yes. Yes, as an adult, I can swear to that.
Yes, and you have pink foam bubbling in your head because the can opener, and I'm not talking the top of my head, right in the middle of my freaking forehead. And my grandfather took it out.
But I tell you what, peroxide hurts, but it don't hurt like witch hazel.
No, it doesn't hurt like witch hazel. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. But let me tell you. I have no stitches in my forehead because you can't take a child to the emergency room. You're wasting time. And you know the old line, how am I going to take you to the hospital? I might work with somebody in there. How's it going to make me look on my job with you sitting up here in the emergency room?
Just bleeding.
Yeah. Make you.
Basketball reminds me of another game that the kids can't play anymore. Red Rover, send somebody over. Remember that game?
Yeah, we didn't play that in the hood, in my hood. We didn't play that.
We played
hide and seek.
Oh, we played hide and seek, too, for Red Rover. Red Rover, you had two lines of people. And you held hands. Each row held hands with their row. And you would say, Red Rover, then yell over. And it was your job to run over to our line and bust through our arms where we were holding hands. So, you know, our dumbasses would wait for somebody to come over to lift our arms up so we clothesline them. And you know what? If you got clothesline, you just had to just, you know, kind of hold your throat massage a little bit. And get over and get back in line because you weren't going to the hospital.
No, why would you?
His trachea, it's just a bruised trachea. He'll survive. It's going to be hard to swallow for about a week and a half. But
you better
he'll be fine.
No, you better walk it off. Better walk it off. And don't cry. Don't be no punk. Don't cry.
Don't
cry.
None of that.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, back to the original topic. I support this father. You know, I may not have said, honk if you hate bullies, but, you know, honk if you think bullies should get in trouble or something. And yeah, I don't want all the area knowing that my kid, you know, saying that they hate my kid, you know, honestly. But at the end of the day, I bet you that kid won't bully nobody else. I bet you he's learned his lesson. And
well,
Go ahead. And I don't think that father should be getting, you know, a bunch of negative flack, because maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need parents to parent, even if that parenting is couple humiliation and stop all this nonsense about timeouts and taking away DS's and stuff.
Hey, Miss Ann came out the house and there's punishment. There's punishment. What wasn't no punishment for? I didn't know what punishment was. So I was like fifth grade because some of my white friends got punished. Like, what's punished? We don't get punished. We get beat. And then you lay there and think about what you did to cause you to get beat. Ain't no punishment. I swear. It was like fourth or fifth grade before I found out what punishment was. I had no idea what punishment was. And then when I found out. Then when I found out that there was such things as capital punishment, I was like, wow, you really in trouble. They got to capitalize the P. You got capital punishment. Wow.
Now, you know what? I knew about punishment and I knew about restriction. I got put on restriction all the time. But my restriction also included an ass whooping, so it was assault in the injury. I would get my spanking for whatever I did, and then my mother would beat me. Plus, you know, not only did I just beat your ass, you could stay in the house in your room for 2 weeks. No more playing outside. No more interacting. No more interacting with adults and
right.
Peers.
No television.
No television. You come out of your room to eat and to go to school, and that's it.
go to the bathroom, and you better go to the bathroom when you come out the when you get ready to eat.
Right.
That's it.
And that is why to this day, I could put together a jigsaw puzzle. I could put together 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle in about a day and a half because my mom would allow me to do that because that wasn't quote-unquote fun. You know, it wasn't the Atari. It wasn't Rock'em Sock'em. It wasn't Hunger Games Hippos. It was me putting together puzzle pieces.
Yeah, it's you're going to sit here and contemplate what you've done wrong.
Right, and you don't sit here and put this puzzle together and think about life.
Right, right. And it's not a game. You got to put the puzzle together.
Yeah.
So. See, now to segue on that.
I was getting ready to do that. Go ahead.
To go along with the theme of Miss Ann out the house and how that has propagated into our people. And it's hard for me to segue this way about a very serious subject. But since we were last on the air, we had the situation in Washington, D.C., where the young lady tried to drive her car onto the White House grounds because she believed President Obama was monitoring her house. Clearly, she had some mental issues. And I segue from what we were talking about to this because her family has now come out and they want answers to why the Secret Service and National Park Police and Capitol Police had to shoot her for trying to run over them and drive her car onto the White House grounds.
Right. What is wrong with people?
It's a sad thing. It's a sad story. It's very sad. But we can't apologize all the time when our people, our children, our family members, when they do crazy shit, you can't always apologize. You got to own up to it.
You got to own up to it. And you can apologize, but you can't be making excuses. You know? They could have said, we are so sorry for, you know, all the trouble that this caused. Our hearts are with. Or with the police officer that was injured. You know, we're sorry for the police officers you tried to run down. You know, we're sorry that Congress had to shut down in the middle of talking about the shutdown because my dumbass sister is trying to drive her car onto the White House grounds when 1-year-old niece in the back.
Yes. Yes. And that's the other sad thing. And you and I talked about this before the show went on air. Her people have come out to say, what? She wasn't delusional? Are you? Okay. Explain to me then why she would take her baby and try to drive onto the White House grounds because she thought the president was trying to monitor her house specifically.
And if that's not delusional, aside from crazy, what is it?
I mean, at some point, seriously, at some point, if everything else is equal, at some point, if she's sane, when they started shooting at her car with her baby in the car, you don't keep trying to run people over. And let me tell you something. What did we learn from Rodney King and from other incidences? If the police have to chase you in your car and you use your car to try to hit them as a weapon, the best you can hope for is an ass whipping. Because if you try to run over a police officer with your car, they have every right to shoot you several times. It is a weapon. It is a weapon.
And you know what? I am not on the bandwagon of this is acceptable. excessive force. They didn't have to kill her. But we are in an age of terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
Those officers didn't know what she was trying to do other than she was trying to drive her car onto the White House lawn.
Exactly. And when they had her cornered in, when they had her cornered in and tried to talk to her, she backed up, hit the car, drove towards them, and drove off, and then hit another car. At that point, the best game over. The best she could have done was pull over and jump out the car and lay down.
Yep, it's a wrap. It is a wrap.
And it's sad. Again, it's sad. It's a sad situation. Black, white, yellow, brown. You know, it hurts me because she was a young black lady. Yes, that hurts. But I don't care what color, what's going on. You do that, the police. In Baltimore, I mean, in Washington, D.C., that is asking for trouble today. Today, this is a post-9/11 world.
In any major metropolitan. You pull that shit in L.A. and see what happens. We already know what happened if you pull that shit in L.A.
Yeah, yeah.
If they don't
but
really get a car full of bullets, they're going to snatch your ass out and beat you at a billy club.
And see, and I know we've talked about this on the show, even though I can't be specific about when, but I've tried to tell people before as well. If you look at a photograph of the front of the White House, and that's the front of the White House, that's the front facing Pennsylvania Avenue. If you look on the roof, you will see men in black suits, and you'll see a little hut on the top of the White House. There's a sniper in that hut. There are snipers walking around on the White House, on top of the White House. And you can get froggy if you want to and try to come over those gates.
Right, real froggy.
But it'll be the last leap you make if you're lucky. And I think they showed a lot of restraint when they approached the car with their guns drawn, trying to get her to, like, what's going on? Because for real, like we've said, this is a post-9/11 world. The United States troops just went into Libya and snatched up a dude. Look, everybody's on edge now from a terrorism standpoint. And now you're talking about some police officers who are being told the government shut down, and even though you have to report to work, ain't no guarantee you're going to get paid. They on edge, man. They on edge.
Right. And we all assumed right off the bat that it was somebody, a worker, who was getting ready to lose their house because of the furlough. That's what the assumption was. These people are heightened alert. You just don't, why play? And I think what a lot of people don't understand is the geography of that area. I mean, think about if you live in a major city, think about your old downtown, whatever that downtown is. And then think about, visualize the White House in the middle of that downtown corridor. The White House is in the Capitol. They aren't out there, you know, kind of in the country where there's a lot of space. No, they are smack dab in the middle of the city. That's a lot of potential issues. You know, I mean, you're more familiar with D.C. than I am, but there's hotels all over there and all kinds of buildings. You know, there isn't a whole lot of ground between the city and the front door of the White House, or the city and the front door of the Capitol building. Dude, last time I was there, you know, 1 minute I'm on, you know, walking past this hotel and this restaurant. I turn a corner, turn past Starbucks, walk 150 yards, and I'm at the bottom of my representative's office building. Just like that. I didn't have to go through any security to get to that building. Now, of course, once you get inside, you get security. But, I mean, it's just open. You just walk around.
Yeah. Because we have to keep in mind that Washington, D.C. is supposed to be the nation's capital, free access to certain things for all citizens of the United States, and people around the world are supposed to be able to come to D.C. and enjoy, see the not only the capital of the United States, but the cradle of capitalism in this country, in this world. I'm sorry, in this world. So there's a lot out there in D.C. for people to have access to. But there are certain things you can and cannot do, and you better and better not do. And one of the things you better and better not do is disobey when Secret Service and Armed Security says, don't do that. If they say don't do that, don't do that.
And
don't,
you know,
do
that's
that.
That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. It was plain clothes Secret Service people. They have no idea if she was coming after our president or not.
And evidently, she may have been.
But we as American citizens, you know, I understand the family's upset, but we as American citizens need to sleep well at night knowing that the people who are supposed to be the frontline defense for our government, our president's house, don't play.
Right.
They don't play. You're not getting buried on my watch.
And it doesn't matter. And you know how I felt about George Bush. Everybody knows how I felt about George Bush, how I still feel about George Bush. But
oh,
as
absolutely.
The president, you don't have to respect a man, but you need to respect the office. And
the
I think
office.
That's what's
missed.
And that. And that's what's missing today in this discourse that we're living in right now with Congress.
Right.
Yes. And that's
you always have to respect the office.
Right. And that's, you know, a good way to segue into that. The reason we're in this government shutdown right now is because you have members of Congress who have forgotten that you respect the office, if not the man. And you
That's
have
right.
the Speaker of the House and other members of the House representatives and senators like Cruz who want to think that the president needs to answer to them. Hello, you're wrong. He's the duly elected, twice elected president of the United States. The people have spoken. He does not have to kowtow to you. He does not have to give up his signature legislation, his milestone, so you can feel better about yourself.
Right. There's some comedian or cheerful writer, I forget who, had this great tweet, and it was like, you know, they asked President Obama, can we burn down your house? And he said no. Well, can we burn
right.
down the second floor? And he said no. Well, can we burn down the room? And he said no. And they said, why won't you compromise? Really? Get the hell out of here with that BS.
Right.
And I don't want him to compromise. They already compromised. They submitted a budget that was like 900 some odd billion down for 1 point some trillion. That's the compromise.
Go ahead on.
And we talked about this last week. What the F? It's law. Y'all can't come in on the fifth quarter and try and renegotiate. I'm sorry. This is past. 3 years ago, over and done. It's being implemented. What is wrong with you?
The problem is they want him to not be successful. Plain and simple,
yes.
We've talked about it before.
Yes,
they want him to not be successful. And we can go point by point on every part of his administration, but I want to go point by point on every president and how we as a nation deal, how our elected officials deal. There were a ton of people unhappy when Ronald Reagan was elected. There was a ton of people in Congress that were unhappy when Ronald Reagan was elected. But they worked with Ronald Reagan for the betterment of the country. Some of his
That's
stuff
right.
was crazy. Some of his stuff is bull that over years has been changed. But you had Democrats willing and able to work with Ronald Reagan. You had the Speaker of the House at the time, Tip O'Neill, who wanted to work with Ronald Reagan. Did he necessarily like Ronald Reagan? We don't know. But we know he wanted to work with Ronald Reagan because it was for the betterment of the country.
For the country. Even though some of their views were polar opposite.
Yes, exactly.
Tip O'Neill was not a moderate Democrat by any stretch of imagination.
No, sir. No, sir.
But
and then,
for the betterment of this
betterment
country, they put country first. Even Reagan did. I mean, I don't have a whole lot of good stuff to say about his legacy or him, but he compromised for the betterment of the country if it was a reasonable request. What they requested of Barack Obama is not reasonable. One, and they did compromise. This is just some boys throwing a temper tantrum and trying to take their balls and go home.
And then he succeeded by George Bush Sr., Herbert Walker Bush, and Congress worked with him. He succeeded by Bill Clinton, and people didn't want to work with him. You have Newt Gingrich, who became Speaker of the House, who didn't want to work with Bill Clinton. Why? Because Bill Clinton wouldn't let him sit in the front of Air Force One. I mean,
it's all ego driven.
And then you go 8 years later after Bill Clinton is elected, you have George W. Bush, right? And you have Democrats who were fundamentally opposed to everything George Bush tried to do and what he said. But they tried to work with him and they were willing to work with him. We would have never gone to war in Iraq if people didn't compromise their principles wrongly, but for united front, they agreed to go to war. You have people who to this day say nothing good about George Bush who were in Congress at the time, but they worked with him. Now, we can spin it any way we want to spin it or any way you can try to spin it about why they don't like Obama, but you and I believe and you and I know it's because he's elected and he's black.
That's right.
And
let's just put that, you know, let's even put it in further perspective. Not only will they not work with him, they won't do their damn job, period, because of him.
Right.
How many job bills have they put forth?
None.
How many times have they tried to overturn Obamacare? 43. How many times have they brought anti-abortion legislation to the floor? 12 or 13? That's all they've done since he's been president and they've had the majority. That is it. Say what you want to say about Nancy Pelosi, but that woman pushed through over 400 bills.
Not only did she get things done, she had her caucus, the Democratic caucus, working with her.
Yep.
She was not forced by her caucus to work with them.
With some fringe group. And this is how insidious it is. So we all know that a majority vote in the House is 217. John Boehner is standing in front of the American people and saying that they just don't have the vote. So
when there's 200 Democrats saying yes and at least 17 Republicans saying yes.
At last count, there were 26 Republicans that were saying yes. He refuses to bring any vote to the floor. That is just treasonous as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with you.
That is treasonous because he's not doing his damn job. He's refusing to bring the vote to the floor, something that's going to be voted on based on a lie. And you know what? Even if they only had 200 Democrats and that's it, and the Democrats still did not have the majority, you still bring it to the floor for a vote. fucking job. Let the people be heard.
And that's the thing. That's what they refuse to do over and over again, is they refuse to vote. They refuse to vote. That way, they can't bring it up to a vote, for a vote. That way, nothing can get done.
Right. And the American people can't hear and see the truth.
But what will they vote on? They will vote on repealing Obamacare, and they lose every time. Now you're trying to hold the country hostage. Now you're trying to hold the country hostage to get what you want. It's you have a minority position. You have a majority of people in the Senate. In Congress. But you have the minority of people in the country who don't want the health care bill. Clearly, it's a minority. And your majority can't get it changed. And even if you could, you have to understand the majority of the people in this country want it. This is how democracy works. And again, like you said, John Boehner can sit up here and lie about what he has to work with. And he will say, this is how democracy works. The president is supposed to work with us. No. Democracy works when the people who have the most votes get to have what they want. And they want Obama, and they want health care.
This is how insidious this is. People don't understand this. They keep wasting. This is time that can be spent on job bills. On raising the debt ceiling, all that, they keep bringing Obamacare to Obama. And they know that even if it passes out of there, it's going to get to the Senate. Democrats have the minority. They're not going to pass it. So let's see if the Democrats ease their mind and pass for a bill. The president's going to veto it.
Yep.
Why are you wasting my freaking time? It's not going to happen.
And he's not going to veto it simply because he's not going to veto it simply because it's his signature legislation. He's going to veto it because it's bullcrap. The country wants it. The country needs it. And don't give me this lie about you can't fund it. There's built-in funding in the legislation, right?
Yeah, and I learned that firsthand. When we were in the hospital, because I asked questions. And, you know, with the exception of one person, everybody, physicians, nurses, therapists, all support the ACA, of the at least dozen or so that I talked to, and there is funding in place. One respiratory therapist that I spoke to, you know, specifically mentioned homeless people. And how, you know, homeless people had so many different diseases, and they would come into the hospital and then to the emergency room, and they would be treated, but there was no way to follow up on them. And, you know, she also mentioned working poor, you know, come in with diabetes or hypertension, and they take care of them in the ER, but they can't afford their medication. So they never see them again. But with the ACA, there's money for them. There is literally money to grab somebody homeless and not only take care of their immediate needs, but the maintenance and the preventative medication. Because, you know, somebody living on the streets probably can't afford to enter the health care exchange. That's why there's money set aside for situations like that. And, you know, the one thing that they all explain to me, which makes them a little uneasy, is that physicians become, according to them, physicians become responsible. So if they take care of that homeless person and they don't, you know, figure out a way to maintain his health, they could get the doctor who was responsible for that could get called in the carpet. And I'm like, well, how do you do that? You know, if he's homeless, he doesn't have an address. But she said in most cases, even if they're homeless, they're so happy to have health care that it won't be a problem finding them. They will come in because now they can afford their insulin or their high blood pressure meds. They're done. Same with the working poor. Now there's an opportunity for them to be able to take care of themselves. And the one thing that every single one of them said to me, every single one of them, was that they are happy that everybody is going to have coverage. Yes, it's going to be kinks in the system. Yes, you know, some of the physicians are a little uneasy about being responsible to that degree, but everybody is happy that people will finally have health care. And not just because everybody should have health care, but because, you know, they're tired. They're tired of, and not tired in a negative sense, but tired of seeing that same person over and over again for the same thing.
In the emergency room.
In the emergency room, you know, always mm-hmm. having, because that person, it's like they're MacGyvering these people, you know?
Yep.
They're using chewing gum and bailing wire to keep, you know, whatever fixed together that they can. They only last for so long and they're back in the emergency room. They don't want that anymore. They want to see that patient in the emergency room and then be able to make sure that that person has office visits and can afford their medication so they can get on the road to recovery. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what public is complaining about the ACA. I don't know, you know, where the Republicans are saying, well, the public doesn't want it. Doctors don't want it. Well, sure, you know, one or two of the doctors don't want it. But when I can just, you know, randomly talk to healthcare professionals over a five-day period and hear pretty much the same thing from everybody, you know, and the other thing that they all said is the system is going to be flawed. And they're not looking forward to those headaches. But they all admit that you've got to start somewhere. You know, the flaws will, they'll learn from their mistakes and they'll fix the flaws until they get a workable situation. Just like with the VA, just like with Medicare, Medicaid. But you got to start somewhere.
And to speak to that, to your point, you have people who are now furloughed, and that's and you know, I think furloughed is probably the nicest way to say sitting around not knowing what the fuck. Excuse my French.
Almost, you know, because you know, little TL is working, and she's quote unquote furloughed. There's quite a few. And I know that you probably know far more government workers than I do based on your geography, but there are, you know, Lou TL, she works for a federal judge, and because the government has stopped the work doesn't mean crime starts. So,
right.
she can choose to stay at home, or she can volunteer her time and get those court dockets pushed through. You know, catch up on that work. I have another friend who's also a government employee. She's been, quote unquote, volunteering for 2 weeks. Because, you know, yeah, I'm sure there's quite a few people who are at home, you know, actually furloughed. But then there's a whole segment of that group who literally cannot leave. You know, there's the essentials, and then there's the non-essentials who are just doing the work because, you know, you can't let's say, processing, the veterans that are coming back from the Iraq War who are trying to get mental health care. You can't stop processing that stuff. They're already 2.5 years behind.
At least.
You know?
At least.
There are plenty of non-essential people. I mean, that's just what's so ridiculous and evil about this shutdown. It really, really is, because we cannot stop this government. Yeah, you know, you can go without having the trash can empty every now and again, and, you know, whatever. But this country would collapse if everybody who was furloughed actually stayed home.
Well, not only that, not only do you do you cripple the infrastructure of the country? You have people, and we talked about this, you have people who are solely dependent for their income on not just having a government job, but people who have ancillary jobs to federal government or federal agencies and buildings. You know, the people who clean the buildings, and not just that, but the employees themselves. They're not working, but they got bills to pay. They're not working,
right.
But
like
their kids have got to eat.
Like we talked about last week, the little coffee cart. Nobody's there to buy coffee from the coffee cart. Nobody's
right.
there to go to the sandwich shop. You know, and how about Social Security? How's that working out for you? My sister-in-law has Down syndrome. She's disabled. We don't know if she's getting her SSI check. We have no idea. But how would you feel if you were doing everything right? You were showing up to work, you were doing your job, and to no fault of your own, just because John Boner has a burr up his ass, you don't get a paycheck. Do you know how pissed I would be if I lost my house and my car, couldn't feed my child through no fault of my own? And I'm not talking about a layoff or firing just because they just don't want to pay me? What?
Yeah, you're in limbo. You're in limbo. And you know, it's scary on another level as well when you think about it, that you have people who work really hard in the government.
Really
and, you know,
hard.
I've talked about it. You know, I talked about it because I've contracted at Social Security Administration. My parents retired from Social Security Administration. Most of my friends and children and children of friends and friends, my parents' children, my parents' friends' children, all of them are government employees, federal government employees, or children of federal government employees. You know, when they say you have job security if you become a federal employee, you have job security till you retire. Yeah, you kind of do, but you got to put up with this bullcrap. You got to put up with sequestration and continuing resolutions right now. And you didn't have to deal with this under Clinton. Well, you had to furlough when Newt Gingrich was stupid enough to shut down the government because he was slighted. He felt slighted. But you didn't have it under any of the Republican presidents, because Democrats are always willing to suck it up and eat the crap pie to try to do things for the betterment of the country. And you're running out of that. You don't have that anymore.
I think you might remember better than I do. You might have to look it up, but I think there were a couple of shutdowns during the Carter administration, and they were Democrat-led ones. Double check it. I'm not sure.
No, what you had was there was some consternation with some of the things that Carter was doing, and people, they thought he was too much of a micromanager, and there was some cuts in agencies, but the government wasn't shut down. The government was not shut down. And then.
I'll take your word for it. Because I wasn't born yet.
Right.
I'm only 25.
Right.
Right. I know you were what, like 42, 43 when Carter was in office.
I voted for Carter. I'm not ashamed to admit I voted for Carter. It was his reelection campaign, and he lost. You know. But.
Ooh, you're so old.
Yeah. But you know, it's disheartening to me that this country, which is supposed to be of the people, for the people, by the people, is being held hostage And it's not just the government. You have to understand it's the people. This the country is being held hostage by people who have political agendas that are the minority view. And if you don't think it's the minority view, it may be millions. It probably is millions, but it's the millions in the minority.
Yep. And I'm so disgusted. I really can't express or find the words to how I feel about this. It's shameful.
Shameful is a good word.
It's disgusting. It's evil. It's so ridiculous that they, for a political point on something that's not going to freaking change, they are harming the livelihood of millions of people in this country. I mean, how audacious is that?
When we're in the middle of a recovery. When we're in the middle of a recovery.
In the middle of a recovery, for Christ's sake.
And then, okay.
They don't care.
How does this affect you, middle America, that the government is shut down? So you might not have any direct people in your life who work for the government. But those people who pay their bills and go out and buy consumable goods, which helps the economy go forward, when you have people, government employees, who can't pay their bills, who can't buy groceries. If you're in middle America and you work for one of the companies in middle America or ancillary companies to middle America that has anything to do with food processing or meat packing or farming, if you're trucking, and these people can't buy your products. So eventually it's all going to fall downhill because if they can't buy your products, then your products are going to rot. And if your products rot, then you're going to lose money.
And how about the fact that there are this affects the food inspectors. So if something gets through that's tainted, it affects the CDC. They can't do nothing about it. Boom, zombie flu.
And then what you're going to do, because the people who make iron skillets are going to be out of work, so can't fight the zombies. Can't fight the zombies.
Right.
Can't fight the zombies.
Right.
Can't fight the zombies.
And I'm sorry, where's the National Guard?
They're over in Afghanistan right now, right? Or did they come back?
I don't know.
You know, and then that just leads into the debt ceiling. And you've got people like Rand Paul with that. I wish the hell he would take that damn guinea pig off the top of his head.
Yeah, give him 3 inches because you know he's only 5'1".
Yeah.
Let the man have 5'4".
You know, 5'4 is important to a lot of people. But
let it happen.
But he's going to come on television in his interviews and straight up lie. If he's not lying, he doesn't understand the debt ceiling. And I'm not going to sit here and profess that I know and understand the debt ceiling in and out. But I do know that what happens in this country has a severe and immediate impact worldwide. And if we have kicked this can down the road enough that the rest of the world is watching and saying, don't default on your loans. China and Japan own a lot of America's debt. Don't default on your loans. You default on your loans, it's going to go bad for you.
All I know
and this
is,
man,
I wish I could wake up in the morning and say, you know what? I think my debt ceiling is high enough.
Right.
I don't feel like paying my mortgage and my car notes. Deal with it.
And just like the president said the other day, he said, Congress can't sit here and say what they will and will not do. They don't want to do their jobs because they think they owe the president owes them to come down. And then say this bull crap when the man says, okay, I'll come talk to you. No, he won't want to talk what we want to talk about. What the give me a, you know what?
Right, but didn't they do that to him? Remember that?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He says,
you
let's
know?
Sit down and talk. Oh, we don't need to talk. Because he
right,
don't want to talk what we want to talk about.
Now his shoe's on the other foot. You and I talked about that when he was trying to work with the Republicans. We were getting a little upset with him because we were like, okay, how many times do they have to slap you in your face before you get it? I wouldn't talk to them for shit. But no, you know, being more moderate than you and I are, you know, Oh Breezy went down there, tried to have a little conversation, and they were like, get off me, you're bugging me, kid. A la W.C. Fields, they gave him the elbow.
Yeah.
And now they want him to come. I'd be like, you know what, swing on these nuts. That's what I would say.
Well, you know what, I've been debating whether or not to change my position on this for the last couple of days. I've been debating, it's been going back and forth in my mind, and I've come to the conclusion that the government being shut down is clearly the president's fault. The fact that we have this debt ceiling crisis looming now is clearly the president's fault. Because if he would just simply sit down with Boehner, Cruz, and the rest of the knuckleheads and agree to just give in on the one point that he can easily give in on, and they don't press it, but it's the one thing, if he would just go meet with them and say, I'm no longer going to be black. If he would just stop being black, we could get some shit done. Bills would be passed. Change your name to Barry O'Hallahan. I don't care. You being this stubborn black man who does not want to stop being black, you're messing with the money.
Right. But, you know, again, you and I are different because my meeting would end with, y'all can swing on these nuts. Have a nice day.
See, you are too liberal. I'm talking conservative. I'm talking conservative family values. Go back, be white, kick that chick out the White House with her black children, get rid of that black dog.
And her black mama.
And her black mama. Get rid of that black dog. Get a white dog.
Black.
Wait, don't call the dog Bo. Change the dog's name to Biff or Skip. Why the dog's name got to be Bo? You know, and it took me a while to come around on this, but it's clear this is all they're asking for. And then we can get the government back open. Come in. I want you to have a big state dinner and invite members of Congress and serve boiled chicken and mashed potatoes with white gravy. And a nice...
Again, I'm too liberal because, you know, my conversation is, okay, now I'm going to bend over. And I want to be cheap. I've got two. So it doesn't matter, but I'm partial to the right one. And just kiss it.
See, because, again, you're not trying to work with Congress. And Obama needs to work with Congress.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I want you to find the darkest part of my ass. The darkest part.
Just come in.
Since I'm black, there is a dark crevice somewhere in there.
I can't with you.
Find it and handle your business.
I'm trying so hard to be serious about this, and you want a clown. Just stop being black, Obama.
All right. Go ahead. Do your
stop
thing.
Being black. Stop being Yes, some boiled fish and some poached eggs. Don't fry anything. Stop playing basketball, damn it. Pick up golf clubs and start spectating. Go to more basketball games and stand and sit on the sideline. Don't go to the basketball games and dribble. Don't dribble.
Yeah.
Don't dribble.
Can a sister get some okra at least?
No okra. No. No, 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 no.
No okra.
That even sounds black. Right. Is it
no,
okra even sounds black?
No okra and no Oprah. Okay, got it.
Mm-mm. Watch some 700 Club. See what I'm saying? Stop.
You know what? Next week, we got to talk about that fool. Because he said something about, he went on some rant about carbohydrates and the Bible. we just don't have the time today. I don't know if we'll have the time ever.
We're gonna have to. We'll start the show off next week about Pat Robertson and some carbs, because I need to know what that's all about. I'll have to research that. But I'm sure, and you know, people. I'm gonna tell you, you all, you joke Pat Robertson, but obviously since he hung out, he ain't old as Jesus. But I'm just saying, he was in the Glee Club with a couple of the disciples. He may not have known. I'm sure.
He wanted to know Glee Club, because that sounds too much like Twink from the Teletubbies in the little triangle purse. He wanted to know Glee Club. You know how you feel about that.
Right, you're right. They didn't call it the Glee Club back then. They called it, you know, whatever they called it. He hung out with, you
they
know,
called,
like
they called,
Paul.
They called it like jazz choir.
Wasn't jazz. Jazz sounds too much like
black. No, wasn't jazz, but you know what
and
I mean.
And we all know Jesus wasn't black. Jesus was white. Why can't Obama be white? You know Jesus is white because that's what all the paintings of him are. He's the white guy. He's the white guy running around the Middle East in the heat with the long, straight blonde hair and the blue eyes. Why can't Obama do that?
Hey.
He ain't trying to work. He ain't trying to work with the country.
Yes, with the alabaster skin. In the Middle East.
Working as a carpenter. Baby white Jesus. Obama be white. Stop being Muslim. Stop trying all the time to be helping the poor people. You know all the poor people are black.
You know, it's not going to be a skit yet.
Yes. Be white, Obama. Be white. Open the government back up. Be white. And when you turn white, could you go crawling into John Boehner's office and say, I was willing to do whatever you wants to do, sir. But since I'm white now, I don't have to, motherfucker. You know what? Y'all gonna open this shit up, or you gonna be able to kiss Kamal's black ass. That's all I'm saying.
The darkest part of it, no
the less. Darkest part of my now white ass. Kamal, we gonna do this again in 7. America, thanks for listening to Kamal and her child abuse issues. We will catch y'all next time. Good night. Good night, America.
Cut it in.